Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Formerly, kings like Jarasandha, the father-in-law of Kamsa, strictly followed the Vedic rituals, thus worshipping Lord Vishnu. Purport. In these verses, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is very seriously stressing the importance of worship of the Panchatattva. If one becomes a devotee of Gaurasundar or Krishna, but does not give importance to the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, his activities are considered to be offences, or in the words of Srila Rupa Goswami, Utpata, disturbances. One must therefore be ready to offer due respects to the Panchatattva before becoming a devotee of Lord Gaurasundar or of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purvijaitshi Jarasandha Adi Rajaganna Veda Dharma Kori Kori Vishnura Pujanna. Formerly, kings like Jarasandha, the father-in-law of Kamsa, strictly followed the Vedic rituals, thus worshipping Lord Vishnu. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadachmayam Dadati Sva Pedantikam Vande Hong Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangstra Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bitangs Tangsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Bitangs Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kansana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyaevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Nice to see you all. Hare Krishna, please bless me. It's very important to understand that the spiritual world, it's a club. You know, sometimes in the mature world we have clubs. Some clubs are very exclusive. They're by invitation only. No matter what qualification you may think you have, unless you're invited by another member, you don't get into the club. So the spiritual world is like that. It's by invitation only. Taishaisha atma vivrinuti tanam svam. Krishna reveals himself to whomever he chooses. There's no other way. There's no outside way to do so. Or as it said, bhakcha sanjataya bhakcha. Devotion comes from devotion. We must come in contact with a devotee in order to become eligible. Well, that's the beginning of the path. To walk the path which will make us eligible to enter the spiritual world. No other process will give us bhakti. It's interesting that in Jiva Dharma, it's a simple concept, but it's explained in a kind of fancy way in Jiva Dharma. It's described as every vastu has an associated shakti. So vastu means every object, every category. It has certain potencies. So for bhakti, the shakti to give bhakti comes from bhakti itself, and no other object has the shakti to give bhakti. That's how it's described. It's very kind of technical language, but the concept is very simple. Bhakti comes from bhakti, and bhakti does not come from gyan, bhakti does not come from karma, so to speak. So bearing in mind the spiritual world, as I mentioned, it's like a club. So if the members of the club, they all are intimately connected and they all love each other, and then there's a person who maybe has devotion for one member of the club but has disrespect to other members, then would that person be pleasing? Of course not. would not be pleasing even to the person that person has devotion for. Now, there's an example in the, I think it's the fifth chapter, the discussion of Lord Nityananda. Now, the brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he had faith in Lord Chaitanya, but he didn't have faith in Lord Nityananda. And because of that, he fell down. So it said, Heno Nitai Bini Bhai Radha Krishna Paitinai. One cannot attain the spiritual world without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So this week we had the appearance day of Lord Nityananda. One time in a lecture on the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, Srila Prabhupada, he quoted a verse from the Upanishads, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyaha. Without the mercy of Lord Balaram, you cannot become self-realized. So it's not enough just to worship Krishna. You have to understand that you have to go through Balaram. Now this concept is expanded upon in today's verse. It's without the mercy of the Panchatattva. Well, actually, it's in the previous verse, but also in the purport, in today's purport. Without the mercy of the Panchatattva, you cannot make spiritual advancement. And actually, in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada expands even further. He says, let me find it. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payechi Keba. Unless one serves a spiritual master and acharyas, one cannot be liberated. It's interesting because the term Vaishnava Seva, it actually generally means all the Vaishnavas. So if you try and serve Krishna, but you don't serve the Vaishnavas, then that's not pleasing. Now one time on a walk, Srila Prabhupada, he compared himself to Krishna's dog. So what he said was, Krishna, he's very difficult to approach, but the spiritual master, he's easily approached. Now I give the example, some rich man, you cannot even get audience with such a person. But if he's walking down the street and you're nice to his dog, then immediately that rich man is very happy. So he said the spiritual master is like Krishna's dog. You can easily please the spiritual master. Krishna, you cannot even approach him. But if you please the spiritual master, then you please Krishna. That way you go back to the spiritual world. So this is the principle of spiritual advancement. So the Panchatattva, they have come and they have mercifully made it easier for us to approach Krishna. It's interesting in the Nectar of Devotion, there's a discussion about the magnanimity of Lord Krishna. It's one of his qualities. Actually, the two terms used. What are the two terms for magnanimous in Sanskrit? Kripanu. Merciful. Well, that's merciful. It's almost the same. I'm thinking of something else. Something a bit closer. Vidanya, yeah. Vidanya is one of them. Maho, namo maha vidanyaya, Krishna prema pradayati. Rupa Goswami in Prayag, when he's there with his brother Anupam, they hit the deck. They fell, offer prostrated obeisances at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they glorified him as being Vidanya Avatar, the very merciful incarnation. Why? Krishna prema pradayati. He is Krishna Prema Prada. He's giving Krishna Prema. So Vidanya is one word. Another word is? Okay, the Gaura Leela, where is it taking place in a certain dham? Audarya Dham. And it comes from the word Udara. You know this word Udara means very liberal. So Audarya means very liberal, very giving. So these two qualities, they apply to Krishna because he gives himself to his devotees. But in the Nectar of Devotion, and it's not in the Sanskrit, at the moment I'm comparing the Sanskrit with the English, sometimes I would say that Srila Prabhupada, he chaitanyizes the Nectar of Devotion. He has little purports, little comments from Chaitanya Leela which aren't in the Sanskrit. So in this instance, he describes how Mahaprabhu is even more merciful because Krishna gives himself to his devotees, but Mahaprabhu gives himself to everyone. You don't even have to be a devotee. This is the extension of the mercy. And what has been given? It's this prema, Krishna prema, which is anarpicham charin, very rarely given. So it's extremely wonderful that the Panchatattva have come and they've made something very elevated, something very high. They've made it very accessible. That's mercy. But we have to understand that, as is mentioned in the purport, that we can't just choose a one member. We can't just choose Lord Chaitanya. We have to choose the whole group, the Panchatattva, and they should be worshipped all together. And not only that, all the Vaishnavas. So the secret is Vaishnav Seva. So Mahaprabhu said that he took two aspects from each Sampradaya. So from the Sri Sampradaya, one of those aspects was Vaishnav Seva. The Sri Sampradaya is based on two principles. One is Vaishnav Seva. I forget the other principle. Does anyone remember the other principle? Let's run through some of them. What about the Nimbarka Sampradaya? It's based on two principles that he took. One is... Yes? Does anyone know any principles from any of the Sampradayas? There's eight of them. So one of them is Vaishnav Seva. Yeah. Yeah, deity worship. That's one of them. I believe that's Madhvacharya taught deity worship. And what else did Madhvacharya teach? What was his motto? What was his special contribution? Yes, purified dualism. But, was it? Yes. I'm getting confused. Ramanujacharya's Vishishtadvaita. But he emphasized dualism, right? Why did he emphasize the dual aspect? Madhvacharya, what was his specific contribution? Yes. So, yes. That's exactly the point. Madhvacharya was emphasizing dualism in order to defeat the Kevala Dvaitavad, or the exclusive monism of Shankaracharya. So that's one of the contributions, is defeat of Mayavad. So these are the two contributions to the Brahma Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, which is our Sampradaya. So any other aspects? We have three now. We have Vaishnav Seva, defeat of Mayavad, and what was the other one? Deity worship, yes. Okay, there's... say again? Nama Seva? No, that's not one of them, actually.
I think it's something to do with...
Yes, okay. It's called Radhikanta Ashraya. Taking exclusive shelter of Srimati Radharani. That's the Nimbarka Sampradaya. And Gopi Bhav, that's another contribution from the Nimbarka Sampradaya. So how many do we have now? Five. So what we're missing? The Shiva Sampradaya. What did they offer? Anyone know? I wasn't planning to talk about this, so I don't know myself. Anyway, there are three others, think about it. Anyway, so Vaishnav Seva, that is the very important principle through which we go through the parampara. And actually, I wasn't going to talk on this verse, but now that we have it, let's look at the verse. It's interesting, let's break down the words. Jarasandha, how do we break down those words? Jarasandha, why... Jara means what? Old. It has another meaning. Sanda, yes. Like Sandhi means where, like for example, where the night and the day join together, that's a Sunday morning. Or where the morning and the afternoon join together, that's Sunday. And then between the evening and the early evening and night, that's another Sunday. So Sunday means joining together. Also in Sanskrit, we have Sandhi, how to join words together. What happens when we join Nasti and Eva? We get Nasjeva. How to join words together. So, Jarasandha, he is two people, right? Well, he's been joined together. And who joined? It was Jara, the witch Jara, joined together a personality. I forget who it was. Someone was born in two pieces, or was ripped in two. So Jara, the witch, you know how witches, they have magic powers. So Jara joined the two halves together. So then this new person became known as Jarasandha. So when Bhima was fighting Jarasandha, Krishna gave a little hint. He took a blade of grass and he split it in two. So Bhishma understood, because Jarasandha was very difficult to defeat. So Bhima understood this sign. Therefore he took the legs of Jarasandha and ripped them apart, and the whole spine split in two. Like this, so. So we see how merciful the Holy Name, we're talking about the Holy Name, how merciful the Holy Name is. That Jarasandha, he was mocking. Now there's different types of Namabhas. Namabhas means you're not chanting offensively, but you're not chanting purely. It's somewhere in between. So one type of Namabhas is Parihasa, or laughing, joking. So one may joke about the Holy Name. So Jarasandha, he used to have a laugh about Krishna. He was very proud. In fact, he wouldn't fight with Krishna. So Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima, they came to beg for a fight. They were Kshatriyas, but they dressed as Brahmins. Because they knew that Jarasandha, he wasn't all bad. They knew that he would give to the Brahmins. In fact, it's mentioned here, he was worshipping Vishnu. So it's in the verse. He strictly followed the Vedic rituals, thus worshipping Vishnu. So this is easy, it's very difficult to understand this. Who is this person? He's worshipping Vishnu, he's laughing at Krishna, and he's a demon. I mean, what is this? Anyway, so because they came as a Brahmins, and I will give. But then he's looking at their shoulders, and they got all these big calluses, because the Kshatriyas, they carry their bows over their shoulders. So he's thinking, these aren't Brahmins. So then he finally gets the point. It's actually Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima. So he was very arrogant. And he said, I'm not going to fight with Bhima, with Arjuna and with Krishna. They're not even worthy. But I'll fight with Bhima, because Bhima's big, right? So that's Jarasandha. So by joking, just by jokingly chanting the holy names, he became purified. And we have the example of Shishupal. This is another type. This is called Stoba Namabhas. That means derisive. It's almost offensive, but it's not, because it's out of ignorance. So Shishupal was deriding Krishna. So 100 times, finally, Krishna took off his head with the Sudarshan Chakra. In the meantime, the kings that were devotees of Krishna, they were blocking their ears. Imagine that, it's obviously offensive, otherwise they wouldn't be blocking their ears. But from the point of view of Shishupal, he's making spiritual advancement. So how is this possible? For Shishupal, it's Namabhas, but for others, it's Namaparad, because they knew the difference, you see. When we have knowledge, then with knowledge comes responsibility. So these are two types of Namabhas. What are the other two types? Chaya, that's another category we're talking here. Pratibimba and Chaya Namabhasas. Vaishnav, what? Vaishnava Parad, that's a Parad. We're talking here Namabhas. Okay, what about Ajamil? The pastime of Ajamil. He chanted Narayan, that was Namabhas. He wasn't joking, and he wasn't making offence. He wasn't deriding. What type of Namabhas was that? Indirect, yeah. It's called Sanketa, or indirect Namabhas. It means you mean something else. Harama. The example's given, like the Muslims in the field, passing stool, and then he sees a boar coming, because boars like stool. He's running after him with tusks. So he goes, Harama, this is horrible. So he's saying, Ha means O, and Rama means Ram. So he's saying, O Ram. So he gets a benefit from that. Yeah? Rama, Rama, Rama. There's a place in New Zealand called Rama Rama. You know that? They used to do Sankirtan in the past. They got some nice names there. So that's the third type of Namabhas. What's the fourth type? Say again? The dawning. That's Namabhas. Namabhas is the dawning. But there's another type of Namabhas. I can't remember myself, actually. Oh, musical entertainment. Yeah, that, you know, that could be the one. There's another aspect to this. The thing is, this there's one type of Namabhas is given two different meanings depending on where you read it. And musical entertainment is one of the meanings. And what's the other meaning? I could forget, and it could be one of the ones I've already mentioned, but maybe not. Anyway, we'll have to look it up afterwards. Anyway, so this is we're talking here about how easy it is. Actually, it connects with some point I was going to say. Anyway, today, by the way, there's a Watford Harinam. We don't normally go so near, but we don't have the minibus, so there's a Watford Harinam, which means leaving at 12 o'clock. Sometimes we leave at 11. So if you're listening online, please come to Tesco car park at 12:30 or before then and join us for Harinam, Sankirtan, Kijai. So, yeah, discussing Namabhas. So it's quite difficult for ignorant people to be offensive to the holy name because they're in ignorance. We gave the example of Shishupal. So Shishupal, he's deriding Krishna, but because he's in ignorance, it's not actually considered offensive. So when we go on Harinam Sankirtan, we certainly see joking a lot. We also see people deriding the Harinam. Now, we don't like that, but we should understand that they're actually still getting purified. And we shouldn't have the wrong philosophy and think, well, this isn't good. They don't like us, therefore it's better that we don't go in the street. Sometimes we can talk ourselves out of the Yuga Dharma. I know one devotee from Israel, and he told me, he said, in Israel, you know, the Hare Krishnas, they used to chant on the street, and then the people hated us. So he said, so we stopped chanting on the street, and then people like us now. So I accepted that, and for many years I thought, okay, if you go to Israel, don't chant Hare Krishna on the street. But then last year, Indra Jumna Maharaj went there with a Harinam party, and it was a great response. The people of Israel, they love it. And they're just joining in, chanting and dancing as well. So we can have this, we can get it wrong. We can just think, well, because there are instances where Prabhupada said, you know, well, we don't chant Hare Krishna on the street. One time in India, they started throwing coins, and he said, okay, stop. They think we're beggars, so we stop. Now, that doesn't mean you should never chant Hare Krishna in India. I mean, where was it? I think it was in Delhi, might have been in Bombay, but anyway. We should still chant, I mean, time, place, and circumstance. You know, it's not that because at a certain time, because 40 years ago, people were throwing coins at the Harinam party, that doesn't mean you should never chant Hare Krishna on the streets of India. You know, we should get it into perspective. Or just because someone's inimical doesn't mean you should stop. I mean, you just have to look back at the history. Look at the chanting, public chanting in England. Devotees used to go up and down Oxford Street and regularly get into fights. You know, come back with a bloody nose or they'd give a bloody nose. I mean, I remember one Prabhupada letter and one devotee's talking about, and these demons tried to stop us chanting, so we gave him a good beating, and they were actually kind of celebrating the fact that they got into a fight and they'd been beating this demon. You know, imagine how, I mean, times change, of course. I mean, things are a lot stricter now. We don't get into fights so much, but it can still happen. But anyway, you consider the obstacles. And it wasn't a question of, well, you know, a few people didn't like us, so we won't chant, right? We won't chant on the street because, you know, we'll get into a fight. I mean, nowadays it's a lot tamer now. I mean, even in Watford about 10 years ago, there was in the Harlequin Centre, there's this fruit seller. And every time you saw the Harinam, he used to throw bananas. Does anyone remember this? I used to go in several times. I mean, I wasn't living here, but I was in Edinburgh. But I came down a few times and I went on Harinam in Watford. And the fruit seller would throw bananas at us. But he stopped. You know, I don't know if it's a different person or whatever, but he stopped. Even, I mean, see again? Losing money. He's losing banana sales. So we can see how times have changed. People are a lot more tolerant now than they used to be. I mean, I remember going to Guildford, and there was another fruit seller. he threw an apple right across the road. It was going really fast. Fortunately, Shukadev Prabhu, he just kind of picked up his arm and caught the banana, the apple. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Anyway, the point is, people like us. I mean, a few people don't like us, but a lot of people do like us. So we just carry on. And even if they don't like us, you know, they still make spiritual advancement. So there's no problem. There's no danger here. So let's look at zoom out. Let's look at the chapter. The chapter actually relates very much to the topic that's been discussed. That we're dealing here with several verses, and the topic is really about mercy and the mercy of the Panchatattva. Now, when Navadip Chandra gave class, I was here last Saturday. I didn't come on Sundays. I don't come on Sundays so much now because I teach at Krishna Club and it's at 10 o'clock and I can't get my children out of bed. They just don't want to come early. So I come at 9:30, take a little bit of prasad, and then I'm there for 10 o'clock. But I was there for Navadip Chandra Prabhu's class, and the class was about, it was describing the mercy, the effects of mercy, how a blind man can see the stars, or a lame man can cross a mountain, or, what's the other one? The dumb man can recite eloquent poetry. So in this connection, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that this is particularly discussing Kripa Siddha. That's perfection through mercy. So there are three types of siddhas. Kripa Siddha is one of them. What are the other two? Guru, well, that's another type of mercy. Sadhana Siddha, yes. And? Nitya Siddha, yes. Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, and Kripa Siddha. So we're all familiar with these words, I hope. Sadhana Siddha, mercy through sadhana. Kripa Siddha, mercy through mercy through mercy. What have I said? Perfection through mercy. And what was the third one? Nitya Siddha, one is never fallen. So in the... this is also discussed in Nectar of Devotion. And it's discussed in a slightly different way. It's described... it's actually a confusing verse. The Sanskrit is, there are three types of siddhas. Samprapta Siddha and Nitya Siddha. So what's... I couldn't figure it out at first. That's two. Samprapta and Nitya. But the next verse explains... Samprapta Siddha. Samprapta just means acquired. The next verse explains there are two types of Samprapta Siddhis, through sadhana and through mercy. So what are the examples? Does anyone know any examples from scriptures of someone who's attained perfection through mercy? Now we could see everyone in Gaura Lila practically, because Panchatattva are giving out so much mercy. But any particular examples from the scriptures? Jagai Mada, yes. But I just said, we're not going to talk about Gaura Lila, yes? Putana? I don't know. I mean, everyone's a different category, maybe. Actually, on the point of Putana, there are described three particular potencies that Krishna manifests in Vrindavan Lila. Mercy, opulence, and a third one. I forget the third one. But mercy is the example. Putana is a very good example of mercy, so I think you're on the right lines there. Opulence is the pastimes of Lord Brahma. When Lord Brahma manifested all these boys and calves, that's an exhibition of the opulence of Vrindavan. We think of Vrindavan as being sweet, but actually Vrindavan is full of opulence, and that is the archetypal example as given of the opulence, also in Nectar of Devotion. I was mentioning last time I gave the Chaitanya Charitamrita class that the opulence of Vrindavan excels the opulence of Vaikuntha, even. The example is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of a conversation between Swarup Damodar and Srivas Thakur. Because Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni, who is a devotee of Lord Narayan. So he was in the Ratha Yatra pastime, he's taken the side of Lakshmi. Lakshmi comes 5 days, you know, Hera Panchama. 5 days after the Ratha Yatra, then Lakshmi comes with her servants and they beat the servants of Lord Jagannath because they want to see Lord Jagannath again. And in this pastime, Shrivas Thakur, he's taking the side of Lakshmi because that's his mood. He's a devotee of Lord Narayan. Which is kind of confusing because Narada Muni, he's very intimately connected with Krishna's Leela. Just goes to show you can go anywhere. You know, he's a special devotee, special category. You can do anything. You can go anywhere, Narada Muni. So, Saurabh Damodar, who is Lalita in Krishna Leela, she corrects this mentality. She explains, actually, even the Sarabi cows, the wish-fulfilling desire trees, and the Chintamani stone, they have more opulence than Vaikuntha, even. In fact, a drop of the opulence of Vrindavan is more than all the opulence of Vaikuntha. So that's a little side point. Let's go back to the... Yes, Prabhu. You're right, it is. And Mother Yashoda is the example. Mother Yashoda's relationship with Krishna, the sweetness is there. So yeah, we're doing it off the top of our heads here, but you got it right. Yep, it's sweetness, opulence, and mercy. Yeah. Anyway, so we're going back to... Let's go back to... That was a little diversion, but we're going back to Kripa Siddhas. Kripa Siddhas are rare. It said, Prabhupada gives example, also in Nectar Devotion. He says, you want a degree, then what do? You enroll at the university. Now, some people get a degree without enrolling. They get an honorary degree. I'm still waiting for mine. I don't have one yet. You know what? Srila Prabhupada was an honorary professor. You know this? Professor Prabhupada. We don't think of him as a professor, but actually he was. In India, before he came to the West, he was awarded I forget where from. It was a Jhansi. Anyway, we can check it up. Yes. I mean, I know for his... In undergraduate times, he refused. Well, he was... Did he refuse? Because in the dream, you know, I've watched the Abhay Charan videos. In the dream, it's dramatically done. You see him, Abhay, ripping up his diploma or whatever you call it. But actually, it was just a dream. What did he do? He just didn't turn up for it, right? Yeah. Yeah, he was following the mood of Gandhi. It was civil disobedience. It was, get the education, but we don't turn up for the... Anyway. So yeah, he was an honorary professor. But that's not the general case. So the point is, if you want to make the advancement, then is to practice is sadhana, to enroll in the sadhana project, the sadhana program, you know, become a bhakta. Although some other examples are very rare. So we have the example of Putana. Okay, any other examples of mercy? Okay. And is that an example of Kripa Siddha? Yeah. Well, I mean, at least before, he's cooking for Krishna already, right? So he's doing, it's like a type of sadhana already. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just to take a different angle, we're talking about sadhana. Now, there are 64 angas to sadhana. One of them is tat krip ekshanam, which means awaiting the mercy. Sadhana doesn't mean we're no longer getting the mercy. Sadhana means mercy, right? How to make any type of advancement is mercy. It's either through... Sadhana is like incremental mercy, whereas kripa siddha is just the mercy out of nothing without any endeavour whatsoever. But actually, it's all mercy. We shouldn't think that I've done it through my own endeavour. Now, we have the example of Mother Yashoda. You know, Navadip Chandra Prabhu was giving class on Saturday. He said there are the 2 inches too short, the rope, right? 1 inch means our endeavour. The other inch means mercy. So both need to be there. But actually, from another angle of vision, both don't need to be there. Endeavour doesn't need to be there. You can just get the mercy. It's rare, but you can just get it. So only one thing really, really needs to be there, and that's the mercy. There's nothing more than that. Like in the Sri Sampradaya, there's there's a difference of opinion over mercy. There's two schools of thought. One is called Markata Kishor Nyaya, the logic of the baby monkey. And the other one is Marjara Kishor Nyaya, the logic of the baby cat. So one group of Sri Sampradaya followers, they say that mercy comes like the monkey, baby monkey. You've got to hold on. You've got to make an effort or else you don't get the mercy. The other school is like mercy. It's like the baby cat, the kitten. So the cat just picks up the kitten. The kitten has to do nothing. It's safe. It doesn't have to hold on even. So which is it? You know, we get this dilemma. It's a dichotomy. Is it through our effort or is it through mercy? And the answer, Well, the example of Mother Yashoda is both 2 inches. So the answer is both. But from another point of view, it's only one. It's just mercy. If you look at how do we follow the process of sadhana? The qualification to be a sadhaka is also an extra devotion. Yakena pyati bhagyena jata sradosh yasevani. One must have faith. But where does that faith come from? Ati bhagyena, by good fortune. This is this fortune. I mean, it's not planned. No one has. You don't plan to become a devotee of Krishna because you have no faith in the first place. You wouldn't plan it unless you had faith. So where does the faith come from? Bhagya. Bhagya means it's good fortune. It just comes by, you know, if we go out in the street, chant Hare Krishna, and someone throws a banana. Or someone chants, Hare Krishna, they're joking. It's good fortune. It's, or Shishupal. Yes. Yes, the association, that's a very good point. Yeah, just by seeing the Hare Krishna. It's Darshanad Eva Sadavaha, 11th or 12th canto. It said, just by seeing a devotee, one make spiritual advancement. It said, Na hyam mayani tirtane, na devam britchila mayaha, te punanchura kalena, darshanad eva sarvaha. It said, if you visit the holy places, you will be purified, but gradually. If you worship the deities, it's particularly mentioned the demigods, na deva mritchila mayaha. The demigods, the deities, they're not bits of stone, they're not mrit. Mrit means stone, am means water. So tirthas are not ammaya, they're not just bits of water. And deities are not just bits of stone, they're actually spiritual, have spiritual significance. And they purify, but they purify urukalena, gradually. However, darshanad eva sadavaha. Simply by seeing a devotee, you're purified. So actually devotees have a greater purificatory effect than even tirthas, holy places. Therefore, Janeshra Bhigeshu Saeva Gokaraha. If you go to Vrindavan just to have a bath, but you don't go to find out and seek the devotees and hear the katha, then you're Gokara, cow or ass. And on that point, you'll find the same devotees coming through Bhaktivedanta Manor. You know, you can go to Vrindavan, you might find the same sannyasi there speaking Krishna katha. As you saw him 1 month ago at Bhaktivedanta Manor. You don't even need to go to Vrindavan to hear from the sadhus. At this point about the purificatory effect of the sadhu, it's mentioned all throughout the scriptures. It's in the first chapter. Does anyone know the verse? Yad pada samsriya sutta munaya prasamayana sajya punanch yupash sprishta svardunapyo nusevaya. The Ganges will purify gradually anuseva. You're going to bathe every day. Gradually, you will be purified. However, sadhya punantupasprishta, just by touching a sadhu. Sadhya means immediately you're purified. So, yes. So, why do we get onto this topic? What were you saying before? What brought that up? Oh, yes, I know. We were talking about, sadhana, This is a good point that you mentioned devotee association. Where the term sadhana is used in the Sanskrit throughout nectar devotion, Prabhupada very often translates it as devotee association. So when he talks about a sadhana siddha, he talks about one becomes perfect through the association of devotees. That's the most important ingredient of sadhana. It's just the sadhu sangha. So yeah. So we're going back to Kripa Siddha, and we were talking about examples, and we've had one example so far, Putana. Now there's three or four examples given in Nectar of Devotion. Very good. That's one of them. Prahlad Maharaj. He is Kripa Siddha. So how does that work? It's actually, he comes in the section of Bhav Ota, Kripa, mercy through, sorry, Bhav Ota Prasad, mercy through, coming to the platform of Bhav through mercy, not through sadhana. You see, it's all very technical. To get to the, Bhav means preliminary love of God. To get preliminary love of God, there are three ways. Sadhana, the mercy of the devotee, and the mercy of Krishna. Now, in the case of Prahlad Maharaj, if I'm not mistaken, he's example of, he came to the platform of Bhav through the mercy of Narad Muni. Narad Muni was instructing him in the womb. So that's through the mercy of a devotee. Now, to get prema, there's only two ways, sadhana and Krishna's mercy. The mercy of the devotee is not counted as one of the ways to get prema. So it's different for prema as it is for bhav. Now, who can give an example of someone who's got mercy, has attained prema through mercy? There's one example I can think of. Narad Muni. No, Narad Muni, he's a funny category. He's mentioned as an example of sadhana siddha because he served the Paramahansas. Remember, he's born as the son of the maidservant. He was doing service. He was taking the remnants of the prasad. He was hearing the katha. Therefore, he's sadhana siddha. But then there's another, later on, Bali Maharaj, I believe that is an example. Before I came, I was checking the Nectar Devotion to find Bali Maharaj, but I couldn't find it, but I believe that is one of the examples. He's coming in a family. He's an ancestor of Prahlad Maharaj, so he's going to get mercy through being in that line. Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, did he follow? He followed sadhana for the wrong reason, but he got the mercy. He said, "I don't know," because he wasn't trying for pure devotional service. He was mixed, but yeah, he did. He got the mercy. He got the associate of Narad Muni. Everyone's a different case, you know. It's hard to actually categorize all these things, but I can say there's several that I know of because I was reading it before I came. One of the examples is the gopis. They didn't perform any sadhana, but they saw Krishna, they heard Krishna's flute, and they became, which is another, there's another aspect to this as well, because some gopis were rishi charis, they were sages in Dandakaranya, so we can't really say it's true for all gopis, but at least for some, it's given as an example of Kripa Siddha. Another example is the wives of the brahmanas. Now this is the best example, in my opinion, because it's, we have this statement, their husbands, digjanmanas trividyatat, digvratam digbahugyatam, digkulam digkriyadaksham vamukhayed fathoksaje. They condemn themselves. They say, to hell. This is, you're allowed to swear. Bhagavatam, this is verse. Dig means swearing. They said, to hell with our thrice born status. Say they were first initiation, second initiation, then initiated into sacrifice, performing sacrifices. He said, to hell with it. Dig janmanash trividyatat. Dig vratam, to hell with our vows. Dig bahugyatam, to hell with our learning. Dig kulam, to hell with our good birth. You know, they're snobs. You know, these brahmanas, they were very snobbish. So when Krishna's friends came to beg for food, they didn't even have time to talk to them. And they're performing a yajna. Yajnas are for Krishna. Krishna's name is yajna. And dikriya daksham. We're very expert. We can do all the hand symbols. We can say all the mantras. We can get all the ingredients together. We're very expert at sacrifice. But to hell with it all. Why?
Vimukha Yed Vataksaji. We turned our back on Krishna. The whole essence, the very essence, why were we doing what we were doing? The whole point of following our culture was Vitaishta Savaira Meva Vijaha, to know Krishna. But we missed it. We missed the whole point because we're puffed up. Whereas the wives of the brahmanas, they didn't study. They weren't performing sacrifices. They were just serving their husbands and going about their business. But they were Kripa Siddha. They attained mercy, even though they did not perform any type of sadhana. And on the point of sadhana, I was mentioning how I'm saying that from another angle of vision, sadhana is simply mercy. So there's a description of who can follow the Raganuga Bhakti. It's also nectar devotion. The answer is, without the mercy of the devotees, the Nityasiddha devotees, one cannot practice Raganuga Bhakti. So Raganuga Bhakti is counted as sadhana, but actually you can't do it without mercy. So sadhana, siddha, is another type of mercy. As I said, it's incremental mercy. Actually, it reminds me of something that, a good point that Siddhaputta brought up. He's discussing the two types of knowledge, ascending knowledge and descending. So ascending knowledge is called Aroha Panta, ascending path, and descending knowledge, Avaroha Panta. So we as devotees, we follow the Avaroha Panta. Now in the previous purport, which I thought I was giving class on, there's a statement, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta. This is all about how do we attain knowledge. It's not about our own endeavours, it's about following the Mahajans. We see in the scriptures there's so much emphasis about authorization. This whole chapter, it is about authorization. And what's the name of the... Let me find the... There's no chapter heading. Okay. This chapter is all about how the author, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, was authorized to write this book. Because authorization matters. Why? Because Mahajano Yenagata Sapanta. Unless you're following in the Sampradaya, you're not authorized. Therefore, what you say is not considered potent. Now, in material science, there's no such consideration. If some scientist has written a paper, you can pick up that paper, read it. If you assimilate it and you can add to it, you can write another paper. And no one will say, but who authorized you to do that? You say, to hell with that, I don't need authorization. Read the paper. I've done it. The paper stands on its own merit. But in spiritual literature, no, you can't do that. You have to be authorized. If you're not authorized, you're not supposed to write. Maybe we're all authorized, right? Are we allowed to write? Prabhupada said, he encouraged us to write. Maybe that's our authorization. Anyway. So in this chapter, it's described, the author describes, how the Vaishnavas told him to write this. Because, why? Because Vrindavan Das Thakur, he wrote mainly on the childhood pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But what about the later pastimes? The Vaishnavas wanted to hear. They wanted this literature. Therefore, they asked him, write it. So he received the order. And then he confirmed. He went to Radha Madan Mohan and he offered obeisances. And then a garland fell from the deities. That was confirmation. Haribo! He can write. But he then prayed to Vrindavan Das Thakur. Because no one can write about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the head writer, the chief of the writers, and that's Vrindavan Das Thakur. So he prayed and he received the order from him. So that's three orders. One's enough, but he had three times he's ordered. Therefore, Mahajano Yenagadasa Panta, follow the Mahajans. So let's go back to Siddhaputta. That was a digression. So Siddhaputta, he's describing the two types of knowledge. So scientific knowledge is ascending, whereas spiritual knowledge is descending, comes from above. But if you analyze carefully, you look at scientific discoveries, how we say it's ascending, but actually, how do you get to the next step? It requires something special, inspiration. Where does inspiration come from? Matasmita Gyanam Apohanangcha. For me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So actually Krishna's behind. Material science is Krishna's behind it all. He is the intelligence behind it all. And he's giving the scientists that intelligence. So therefore, it is descending knowledge as well. So ascending knowledge is simply descending knowledge, but it's incremental. So I've said sadhana is simply mercy, and ascending knowledge is simply mercy as well. So actually there's only one type of knowledge, and that's descending. So do we have a wedding today? I'm not sure what time to stop it. Yeah? Anyway, we can take some questions or comments. Hare Krishna. Thank you.